We don't need the lights until a little bit later on. Just have a couple slides tonight we're going to see for the message. Those are really encouraging testimonies in light of it. First, it didn't start so well, but once it got going and people really began to think of our wonderful God and the things He's done, the things He's taught us, and that was really good. I'll put another plug in for sermon audio that Alan did. To be addicted to good preaching is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. And if you have access via internet or can get an MP3 player, and rather than listening to whatever you listen to, be it Rush Limbaugh or some talk show host or some guy just blabbing his mouth on the issues of the day, listen to a sermon. And Dr. Barrett's a good one. There's a lot of others out there, a lot of good preaching, and I encourage you to do that. All right. So we would read through the book of Acts or the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote. We would begin to see that Paul was a man that had a particular focus, certainly a focus that God gave him when he came to Christ. And he said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And he had that purpose that was given to him from the Lord, a purpose that defined his life. And he could choose some selected verses in his writings that would define what that purpose is. Romans 1:15, he says, "As much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel." Paul was ready, whether it was the elite of Rome, whether it was the barbarians, wherever it might be, he was ready to preach the gospel. To the Corinthians, he speaks of the ministry he had there. He said, "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That burden to proclaim the gospel of Christ, that Christ's sacrifice in our place. And then as he spoke to the elders at Ephesus and ministered to them for a number of years, as he was wrapping up that ministry, he says in Acts 20:24, "But none of these things move me." Talk about some of the difficulties he faced in preaching the gospel. He said, "None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." And here it is, that purpose that defined his life, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And then over in Romans chapter 15, we read even a more narrowing purpose. In Paul, we looked at this last week as he was involved in the ministry of preaching the gospel, Romans 15:20. "Yea, so have I strived." There's another word that speaks of enthusiasm and speaks of the emphasis of his life. "I strive to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation." So that burden to take the gospel where it had never been heard before. And so because he had this focus, it kept him from being distracted and doing other things that he could have done with his life, maybe some other good things. I have no doubt that when he went to some of these cities where he was going to preach the gospel, there were a lot of other issues that were going on in those cities, probably social issues that were maybe appalling as he looked at the difficulties that that city was facing. Maybe there were certainly governmental matters of corruption and oppression. And yet his focus was gospel preaching. And that's what he did when he entered into those cities. Connected with that, as we would go through and take a look at Paul's life, connected to this focus on making Christ known, Paul, it would seem, had a specific job description. And I guess we could put it this way, that he was a church planter. He had a burden not only to proclaim the gospel, but as he proclaimed the gospel, to see local churches established. And this meant that as because this was the purpose and focus of his life, that he only did certain types of work. His purpose as a church planner and his vision to do this work in places where Christ was not known placed limits on the activities that he did in his ministry. The fact of his purpose and what he was focused on doing, that kind of set the parameters of the activities that he was involved in as in ministry. As a church planner, there were certain areas of activity in which Paul had to do well if he was going to succeed. Areas where he had to perform and accomplish if he was going to accomplish the work of being a successful church planner. And one of these, obviously, would be evangelism. Take a look at Acts chapter 13. We're going to see four areas here that Paul had to do well if he was going to succeed as a church planter. Acts 13. In verse 5, here at the beginning of the first missionary journey, as he went out with the gospel to preach Christ where Christ had not been known, and then to see churches established. We see a little bit of his strategy here, as God was directed the early ministry, not only of Paul, but the other apostles, to the Jew first, and then as God directed beyond that to Gentiles. But Paul would go to the synagogues, and it says when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John as their helper. So he's involved in evangelism, proclaiming God's word there in the synagogue. At chapter 14, in verse 1, the same thing. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spoke that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So he's involved in evangelism. Later on in his ministry, on the second missionary journey, when he goes out again to reach regions that weren't impacted during the first journey, because of some persecution that took place in Thessalonica, he ended up alone in Athens. In Acts 17, he comes into Athens, verse 16, and while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So he went down to the bus station and just waited for his friends to come and pick him up. No, when he saw people were worshiping someone other than the true and living God and someone other than the true and living God, the Lord Jesus Christ, he did something about it. So he went into the city and he preached Christ. When you come to verse 22, he went to where people gathered and he began to proclaim Christ, and we see the effect of that as he concludes the sermon in Acts 17. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, this is verse 32, some mocked, others said, "We will hear thee again on this matter." And so Paul departed among them, and we're told in verse 34 that a number of people believed. And so Paul is going to do the work of a church planner. One of the things that he has to do well and he has to be involved in is evangelism. Another thing that Paul was involved in was discipleship. Not just the proclaiming of the gospel and getting people to hear the gospel and make professions of faith, but he recognized that his job also was to teach those and to bring them along to help them grow. That's the idea of discipleship. Look at Acts 14. Verses 22 and 23. Paul in verse 21 mentions that he was preaching the gospel to that city. He taught many. And then verse 22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when he had ordained elders in every church and prayed with them, he commended them unto the Lord on whom they believed. And so that idea of confirming the souls, not just gospel ministry, but preaching the whole counsel of God and even talking to them about the kingdom of God that was coming and the fact that they're going to face persecution, what the Christian life is about now that you've embraced the gospel. So discipleship. If Paul was going to succeed as a church planner, he had to do discipleship, evangelism, and then follow up and discipleship. And then also, even in this text, another area of critical ministry that Paul had to do well was leadership development. We're told here in this verse 23, he had to ordain elders. Okay, in order to do that, I think he was involved, no doubt, in the ministry with these men, making sure they were the type of men that could lead. And so he had to be involved in leadership development. We already looked at Acts 20 earlier, but there's a whole end of that chapter dedicated to Paul's departing words to the elders at Ephesus, describing what he had taught them in summary form, and then, again, commending him to the Word of God. And so, if Paul was going to be successful as a church planner, there had to be people that were in place when he was gone. He couldn't pastor all these churches. In fact, he wasn't called to pastor the churches. He was called to plant the churches. There's no success without successors, Paul recognized. And so, here are these men that he put in place. And even whole books we have in our New Testament written to Timothy, two books, two epistles to Timothy, and one to Titus. That's all leadership development. Paul had to do that well if he was going to succeed as a church planner. Then maybe you could come up with some other critical areas as you go through of the New Testament and look at Paul's ministry. But here's one other. Targeted follow-up. That Paul was involved not only in following up with leaders, certainly, but with the churches as well. And we see that in the letters that he wrote. The Corinthians had some questions for him. And Paul couldn't get there, so he wrote some letters. Some of his target follow-up he did through some of his leaders that he trained, and Epaphras and others that went out and to these places and different ones that would go and report back to Paul how things going. And Paul wrote letters, and in these letters to specific churches, he dealt with specific issues that came up. He speaks of the care of all the churches that was on him. And that involved follow-up. Sometimes, in many of these letters, specific people he wrote to. In one letter, he mentioned to two ladies who weren't getting along. Now, you get along. That's my translation of it. But he told them specifically, gave their names. He encouraged them and enlisted them. And that's targeted follow-up. Paul had to be involved in that if he was going to be successful in church planting. And so for Paul, and again, maybe you could come up with some other areas, but at least those broad categories of ministry were critical if he was going to be effective. In fact, you might say that if he overlooked these areas, his effectiveness would begin to tank, would begin to just go down, and you might even say he would fail in areas. If he did all evangelism and no discipleship. If he did discipleship and no evangelism. If he did evangelism and discipleship and didn't train leaders to take over when he wasn't there. And if he didn't answer some of the critical questions and deal with some of the issues that came up, any of those areas that he dropped the ball on, he would be struggling. Now, when I speak of success, he could do all these things, and success from one standpoint wouldn't be guaranteed. Certainly the people's response would have to be there. I mean, he could do all these things well, and you have the ups and downs in ministry, and at times he may feel like, I'm not being very successful. But he was being successful, even in times where he said, I think it's in 2 Timothy, where he says, all in Asia have forsaken me. Talk about a down in ministry. You know, people that he's invested his life in are turning away from the things that he told them to follow. And that must have been a discouraging time. And so success in the standpoint of you know, people going on, not always there, but success in the standpoint of doing evangelism. And if he could look back and say, I did evangelism. I sought to do discipleship in the power of God to the best of my ability. I was involved in leadership training. And I sought to follow up with targeted, and I'm doing these things. And from that standpoint, he could say, I had success. So at the end of his life, he said, I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Even though there may have been some that maybe you could write over certain, maybe even churches and areas where, boy, there's some failings there. And we have the promise that we looked at last week, even in those times of downs in ministry. Christ promised, I will build my church. I will build my church. And the word of God is not bound, and it will move forward. And so these areas that Paul had to succeed in that were critical to him as a church planter in our project that we're going through, charting the course as a church, those are called critical ministry areas. Areas of critical ministry. Anyone that has a job, okay? You have a job, maybe, or if you're involved in ministry, you have critical ministry areas. 3 to 5 areas that you have to perform well if you're going to succeed at that job, if you're going to succeed in that ministry. And people that have looked at those that have been involved in, whether it's occupations or whether it's in ministry, they have found that if you have more than 5 areas of critical areas, of broad areas of category that you need to focus on, if you try to do more than 5, it's not going to happen. You usually go back to the default of around 3 to 5. And if you try to do everything, you will do nothing well. If you get beyond 5 and try to get it all going, it's not going to work. And so it's like this, and some of you are maybe a little bit sleepy, so I have an object lesson here. Okay, one of my critical ministry areas in preaching is keep people awake, right? Although Paul put someone asleep, so he fell down. But you didn't know I was a juggler at another time, a critical ministry area for pastor. Okay, so here's 3 areas, okay? And if I have one, you know, I can keep that going all right. Okay, I can keep my eyes on that. All right, and if I can get up to 2, I can get those going. All right, and keep those going. Okay, now if I get to 3, all right, whoa, I get to 3, and they're different shaped objects, it's a little more difficult. But if I get to 3, I can do that. But I get to 4, I get to 5. You get to a point of no return where you're not doing anything well, and you're dropping things more than they're keeping them up in the air, and that's the nature of what focus is and purpose is in ministry. And so as you wear different hats, whether it's your hat and your job, you need to consider what responsibilities do I have in this job? And if you find out you have more than five critical ministry areas, you're not going to be able to do it well. You put your hat on as a dad or as a mom, and you think, okay, what areas do I have to do? And what are these broad areas of categories that I'm involved in? So let's apply this to the church. Critical ministry areas are broad areas of ministry that our church is involved in regularly, not specific activities. And now we can get the lights now. It's going to do just two slides, and one of them is going to involve some input from you. So broad areas of ministry that we do regularly to accomplish our purpose and our vision. Now, we haven't put together in formalizing our purpose and our vision. We've got some good input and had a good meeting on Saturday. But for right now, as the purpose of a church, we've already looked at in general local churches that are Bible-believing churches are going to be involved in areas. And if you can remember the acronym, I think that's the right word. With the Bride of Christ, you can think of wife. And you can remember, here are some critical, here are areas of purpose of a church. We have to be involved in worship, W. We have to be involved in instruction, I. We have to be involved in fellowship, which includes a caring for one another. And we have to be involved in evangelism. All right. So although we haven't put down in paper our purpose, we're certainly going to include those things. But for this right now, keeping before us, what are some broad areas of ministry to accomplish those things? Worship, instruction, fellowship, and evangelism. And then we'll have a specific vision as well. Paul, to preach the gospel where Christ isn't known. And we've had some vision statements that have come in, but for our discussion here, let's say our vision look something like this: to give everyone in the Monadnock region a good hearing of the gospel, and to see that all are growing in Christ and grounded in the Word of God and serving. All right, so a vision to see all let's just say our 7 mile radius, we've used that, the 16,000 people that live in the 7 mile radius around here, to give them all a good hearing of the gospel. We want to give it a time frame in the next 2 years. And then to see, now maybe not all those 16,000, but to see those who come to trust in Christ, increasingly grounded in the Word of God and growing in Christ and serving. All right, in order to do that, we're going to have certain, in order to be successful, we're going to have certain things that we need to do. All right, and here, these are not specific things, but broad things. Here's all our current ministries. I hope this will come up. Okay? All right, right now, and when we got together in January 7th, the first time the leaders got together, we just started brainstorming, listing ministries. Some of these maybe aren't even very fleshed out much within our church. They're there on paper, but we don't give much attention to them. And if we left one off that's major that you're involved in, he's like, man, I don't even know I'm doing anything. Sorry, maybe that's one of the reasons we're doing this, so we can be aware of actually what's going on. But here you go, all right? Now, obviously, if I try to juggle all those things, I'm in trouble, right? And those aren't necessarily critical ministry areas. Many of those are strategies to support broad categories of critical ministry areas. Let's see if we can kind of together, if we could come up with 3 to 5 critical ministry areas that would, underneath those, we could put these ministries. All right. So we have nursing home. Okay. These aren't in any order. They're not alphabetical. Okay. These aren't related. The columns, they're just thrown up there. Okay. Nursing home prayer meeting, nursery facilities, okay, facility management, sound booth, okay, young married, college students, ladies fellowship, social events, evangelism, whole Bible study, shepherding groups, preaching or pulpit ministries, Sunday school, special music, missions, ushers, parenting, men's fellowship, retreats, prayer gatherings, visiting both people in the church and also those in the community and those who visit our church, following up with them. Ministry to DCA students, mission trips, choir, junior church, home helps, frontline, which is our children's ministry, preteens and younger. Discipleship, teens, vacation Bible school. All right. And some are more specific. You know, we have Vacation Bible School up here, but maybe don't have something else that we do. But anyway, this is what we came up with. Ordinances would be the Lord's Supper and baptism, ministry to the senior saints, those that are elderly, budget, and counseling. Okay? And so those are right now, I'm just calling these current ministries. Again, if I left something out, you can talk to me later. Don't embarrass me now. Okay? And broad categories that we could put those under. Give me one. We come up with 3 to 5 areas that we could put all those under those topics. These would be the sub ministries under those areas. What might one be? Yeah, Chuck.
The
ministries inside the church. What do you mean by that?
Well, the sound booth, preaching, Sunday school, special
okay.
Music, ushers.
All right. So one way to look at it would be the location of the ministry. All right. That might be one way. Okay. And what else? Yeah, Reno. Okay, worship. Good. There's one worship. Okay. If we just had the category of worship, okay, and maybe Reno's thinking of even some of the topic I talk about the purpose of a church. We have an upward purpose, God. We have an inward purpose to one another. We have an outward purpose in evangelism. And one of the purposes of a church is that worship, that acknowledging of God and praising. And so what areas would be under worship? A nursing home? Okay. Prayer meeting? Okay. Maybe. All right. Yeah. Go down. Preaching? Okay, yeah, we got that one. Preaching?
Special music.
Oh, special music? Great.
Choir?
Junior church? Okay. That'd be something we'll put under there. All right, so idea. And there may be others that we would see. Okay, so worship. That would be a key area. If we're going to succeed as a church, all right, a critical ministry area is going to be worship. All right. If we're going to succeed in our purpose. What's something else?
Outreach.
Okay, outreach. Okay, outreach. So we go down this, nursing home, right? And what you're going to find is when we begin to take our current ministries, there comes a point we need to decide, what is nursing home? Is it outreach or is it edification? All right? You need to come down and say, even if you look at your teens group, okay, is your teen group outreach? Is your teen group something else? Because it helps you know what you're doing. Right? I mentioned this before about Awana. Many churches have Awana, which is a very effective ministry. Awana was originally established as an evangelistic tool. And many churches still use it that way. But the default of ministry often is edification ministries, and a lot of times it's just become just for the church. Right? So it makes a difference knowing what broad category this is under. Right? So we were talking about outreach or evangelism. Okay, so obviously, we have something called evangelism, right? And there may be a lot of strategies involved in that. That's visiting may be part of that. Okay. VBS, what's the purpose of VBS? Where would you put that? Outreach? Okay, you have to decide. Right? What's another one? So we've got worship, we've got evangelism. Okay, Bill?
Education.
Okay, education. All right, and by that you mean... education, teaching, ministries... Okay, so that you're going down, and you got young married, you got parenting, okay, Sunday school, all right. You get the idea. Something else? Because there's some items up there that don't seem to fit so far in the categories we have. We've got worship, we've got outreach, we've got instruction, or what do you call it? Education? Okay,
encouragement.
Okay, the idea of fellowship. Okay. Encouragement ministries. All right, you have counseling down here. Home helps here. Okay. All right, senior saints. All right, deciding, how this is going to work. All right. Anything else? The juggling, we got 4 things going here. All right. Anything else? We have a couple up there that still haven't come under anything. Okay, Bill.
Are you going to have something for physical property?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If we came in church tonight, or let's say we had a snowstorm Saturday, and we came in, nothing was plowed. worship wouldn't happen. I guess we could. We could do that. You know, it would happen, I guess. But, you know, we'd have some frustrations in that. All right. And so at least the service as we planned it wouldn't happen. So idea of facilities and budget. OK, what would you call that? Administration. OK. All right. So these are critical ministry areas. And what needs to happen is that you take the time to come up with these broad categories and then put these ministries, sub-ministries under them and connect them so people know what's involved. It helps those who serve to know what it ties into and how it's to function. Here is how one church, a Countryside Baptist church, and they had three areas, and worship and thanksgiving, and discipling believers and evangelizing unbelievers, and you see some of the things that they're involved in doing. You'll notice, I'm having a hard time seeing it, maybe you are as well, the gold here, those are people's names. And the next thing to do is to be able to say, okay, who's going to do that? Who's getting certain leaders that are in charge of that area and making sure, taking the time as, you know, how effective is what we're doing in choir in our goals of worship? How effective is our banquets that we're having and evangelizing unbelievers? We're having these banquets and everyone in the just church people are coming out. Maybe we should move banquets over here. Maybe we need to do something with banquets to make it. All right. So that idea of evaluating so we know what's going on and how things are connected. And so within our ministry, this is part of the structure that that we are working on to accomplish. And I hope this will be helpful for you in your life as well. Put on your hat as a dad. Then ask yourself, how many things are you trying to juggle? What things are coming into your schedule that are maybe not crucial to you, to your key performance as a dad? And see how you can do it. I think that will be very helpful to you. All right, let's pray together. Father, thank you that we could be here tonight. Father, as we look at some of the details of organization, I ask that you'd help this not to be effort in simply putting things on paper and saying, well, this is great as we throw it up on a screen. I pray that you'd give us wisdom in implementing these things and that it would be directed by you. And ultimately, we would come not to trust in a structure, to have a well-oiled machine that seems to be running effectively, but running disconnected from you, our head. And Father, I pray that you protect us from that. Lord, we ask that you would give us a heart for this work here. Give us the focus that Paul had, dedicating his life, striving for the ministry of planting churches, and willingly taking upon himself the care of those that he was serving. And Father, we pray that in the months and even years ahead, as you would tarry, that we would be grateful for the time that we have gone through to do this. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.